Background, Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
We're looking at the acting side of summer theater in Michigan, which is our current topic. We're examining the different types of acting companies which make up summer theater operations in our state, from local community players to the highly professional and audience-attractive star systems. We've heard some comments on the advantages and disadvantages of the apprentice system and its value to the aspiring young actor. We continue a discussion today with director John Hurd of Houghton Lakes Summer Theater Company of 1963. We ask John to comment on some of the advantages of the star system.
You've alluded here to one of the advantages of having star names coming into summer theater, namely this helps the audience pull, the draw. What are some of the other advantages of a star system as compared with a non-name company?
I suppose the first and primary advantage is the reason for the draw. That is, the audience likes to see someone who is highly competent, someone who can be assumed will entertain them to the best possible and best possible way, to the greatest limits of the field, of the medium of theater. And about the best way to guarantee this is by the good old American brand name approach. You know from the name that there is a recognized product, and you're not taking a chance when you buy it.
Some interesting comments on the apprenticeship setup under a star system summer theater and apprentices in general were given to us by a veteran of Michigan theater, director, actor, producer Ted Brink of Grand Rapids.
We have star system summer theaters in Michigan, at least a few, where the top of the cast is headed by a well-known name from the stage or from television or from films. And there can be no question with some of these names, but that they are professional and well-established and they are a draw for the theater. Do you think that this is too much of a compromise by having a star system supported by lesser experienced actors? Or take your same example, a fellow who works in a department store in the wintertime, but does job into a summer theater.
Yes, I feel this is grossly unfair on the audience to portray oneself as a professional theater and palm off inexperienced actors on an audience. I believe that if it's a professional theater, particularly if you're using the star system with one big name, that the other people have got to be eminently well qualified to perform.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't this then raise some question about the whole apprentice system, as we have established? Now, some of our guests on the program, directors, teachers, actors even, have mentioned that the apprentice system is good when it permits apprentices to actually take part in either acting or staging, directing some of the creative work of the theater. But this, as you describe it here, wouldn't give them a chance to do that very much, would it?
Not very much, I'm afraid. I think the ideal apprentice system is one in which an apprentice will work on the production aspects, will be able to job in on occasional bit parts and so forth. But as I look back, and I apprenticed in summer theater work a great many years ago, I know that just the experience of working with these people and letting it seep through you, and if you can stand the first 3 weeks, then maybe you've got it in you. Mm-hmm. I think apprenticing should be very difficult, very difficult. I think it should weed them out fast. I don't think that there are just too many professional people in the theater these days, and what we need are people who are dedicated, sincere, and are not in it for a lark. Sometimes the apprentice system is just that, is a lark. Too much fun.
The star system and apprentices. Some views from director John Hurd and producer Ted Brink. To be continued on Background Michigan. Al LaGuire speaking. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
Actors, acting companies, and summer theaters are current behind-the-scenes topic on Background Michigan. This is Al LaGuire, and today we are continuing our discussion on resident companies and the star system with director John Hurd.
Well, now, what about the resident company, which round out the cast of these star-led plays, John? Working with the resident company, you get to know these people quite well, since they are there throughout the season. What are some of the problems that you might indicate with resident company?
Well, a good resident person is already a professional. He's a member of the union, Actors Equity Association. This means that he works out of New York and will go wherever a good theater wants him and can pay his salary. The first problem is getting him, because he has to be lured 1,000 miles away from the hiring halls in New York. And supposing a call comes in for a Broadway show while he's in Michigan, he may love it in Michigan, he may love performing here, but if he misses the chance of his lifetime at back at the hiring halls, he's out of luck. So that's the first problem, getting good people to come this far from the hiring hall. So once you have them, then there's not too much of a problem, except that if they turn out not to be good, the producer suddenly isn't very far from the hiring hall, is very far, rather, and he can't replace them very easily.
There's no residue or no particular amount of equity actors who might be available within Michigan or nearby states, even during the summer season.
No, there isn't, because it's not to suggest that there isn't a talent in Michigan or in other states that aren't near New York. It's just that the talent immediately moves to New York, because this is where the hiring hall is. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, there are many people on Broadway and Hollywood today that come from every state in the Union, and Michigan has contributed its share. But the actual place to work so far hasn't been... there hasn't been a large enough field in Michigan or in Midwestern states for people to be actually resident year-round and practice their profession in theater.
Again, we also got the comments of veteran Michigan theater producer and director Ted Brink on resident companies and the quality and availability of acting talent in Michigan.
I think that good expansion in Michigan is going to come around when, in the professional theater, summer theater movement, when we start having better acting in the summer theaters that call themselves professional, when the actors are not working all winter at Macy's and then claiming to be professional actors merely because they hold a union card, and coming out to a summer theater and saying, I'm a professional actor. I think that the upgrading of the production itself, or the bringing in of a new company into Michigan that is totally and really professional, people who really work full-time at this job of theater, is going to be very exciting. And this is what I foresee in Michigan. I foresee this type of thing happening. I think it has to happen because there are more summer theaters. The competition is getting very great. I hear that there may be a new summer theater over near the Muskegon area, which possibly would offer some competition to us because Muskegon is rather close to Grand Rapids. And so, as more summer theaters come, the only thing that you can do is upgrade your product. And you try to do this by every means that you can, the publicity and the promotion, but primarily the product itself, the acting, the production aspects of the show.
Two views on acting talent in Michigan and the professional quality of Michigan summer theater. This topic to be further explored on Background Michigan. Al LaGuire speaking for John Hurd, Ted Brink, and the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background Michigan.
This is Al LaGuire continuing our current topic, the summer theater in Michigan. Today we will look at the kinds of casts found in the summer theater that does not feature the star system. We spoke to Mary Kay Bettles, publicity director of the Red Barn Summer Theater in Saugatuck.
Bill Kane of New York and his wife, Lita Anderson. She was an apprentice when they first met there. 5 years ago and were married in 1960 in New York. And Lita recently left the cast of River Wind, an off-Broadway success, to come here and be in Guys and Dolls and Wonderful Town this summer. Bill is a very busy man all winter. He works for Cargill Productions, and he did Wonderful Town and Guys and Dolls as a choreographer. Bill's an actor and a dancer. We have Bruce Hall, who is a very good actor and certainly a veteran of the Red Barn and a longtime favorite.
Don't you think, Mary, I hope you'll agree with me on this factor, that just such people as you are describing, though they may not have great glistening star names that stretch around the firmament, the public is often overlooking some excellent performances, some excellent product from that these people have to offer in the theater. I've found this time and time again. An unknown, as far as name is concerned, doing a tremendous job on the stage.
Yes, yes. But these people I speak of have become... I suppose you'd call them local favorites now, Red Barn favorites.
Yes.
And they, most of them do television work. Some have even made movies in Hollywood. But there is this magic of summer theater. They keep returning. And we're, of course, delighted because this is very good for public relations.
We also talked with Jim Foote at the Manistee Summer Theater in 1963, which combined college talent with professional actors. We asked Jim about this particular kind of company and the kinds of actors it could draw.
What's the total, then, of your personnel in the company this season?
We have, I think we counted up our entire resources in people as about 20, between 25 and 30. 25, I think, was our figure when we started. Have some of the people have been jobbing in for the shows, that is coming in just for one show. As for example, the musical, A Carousel, at the opening of the season, we had Don McCall, who is the singing MC of the Elmwood Casino in the Detroit-Windsor area, a very popular star in his own right, really, who came in to do the role of Billy Bigelow in that play. And we had Dolores Wallison, who's back now at the end of the season for Little Mary Sunshine, and Bruce Francis, the Metropolitan Opera Scholarship winner from Detroit, a fine singer. He was in for Carousel, and he's back in now for Little Mary, but was not here during the middle weeks of the season. So they job in just for these shows, and so our total number does vary a little bit from week to week.
What about some of the local people in the Manistee area and the community here who may be interested in theater? Do you have any integration with them, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. The theater itself is a civic project here in Manistee, and it has such an old and colorful history that they like to keep it alive. And every summer they bring in, last year, for example, the Vanguard Theater around the Playhouse. This season, Vanguard could not come back, and so they... Drama Board, which is our official sponsor here, invited us to take over and to conduct this part academic, part professional and commercial venture here.
A brief look at the kinds of talent found in those summer theaters that do not feature the big names of the star system. For Background Michigan, Al LaGuire speaking, this is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan, the people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment, the state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
The summer theater movement in Michigan, our current topic, and particularly the subject of acting. In speaking to star performer Edward Everett Horton several seasons ago, the veteran actor had some good words of advice for the energetic, young, aspiring actor.
Your interest in theater, as you mentioned, started in student days at Columbia University. And I also, going back to your remarks, see that you got a job at what we sometimes call nowadays as a body, being on the stage, a spear-carrying role.
Yeah.
I deduce from this that you could give some fine words of encouragement to college theater people and college actors about their possible careers.
Well...
Of course, the great thing they have to overcome is the parental objection.
Yes.
You see, they say, oh dear, there's no security, and there's so many actors, and there are so many lawyers, there are so many doctors, the same thing in any profession. And I think if you've gotten through high school and you've sown your wild oats theatrically, you've been in some of the high school plays, and if you get into college and you're your second year or you're going on and you're still interested in the theater, there's no reason in the world why you shouldn't keep at it, because what is lovelier than an even halfway successful life as an actor? So my suggestion is just to keep at it and don't be discouraged and just do everything you can to get up on your feet before people.
Do you feel that the young actor nowadays should keep his availability on a very broad basis? That is, if he has a chance to do some radio, some television commercials, all of these things add favorably to his
add
experience?
Add everything at all, mm-hmm. All experience. Mm-hmm. It equals going in the chorus, as I did when I was a kid. There was nothing else then. There were the local companies all over the United States which were very anxious to bring in new talent. Nowadays, of course, in those days, desire to be an actor was not felt by everybody, or if it was, it was squashed by the parents. But today, you see, at birth, you're registered for a movie, you know. Mm. And there aren't enough theaters to go around, except these lovely little theaters that are springing up all over the United States.
Right.
And what they call the straw hat circuit now is one of the most important departments of the legitimate theatrical world.
This is closer to a grassroots theater movement,
yes,
in America.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I would indeed.
From the sage advice of a veteran actor, we thought we'd present the views of a younger actor about the changes he would like to see in this increasingly dynamic business of the grassroots theater in Michigan. So we spoke to Bill McGuire at the Manistee Summer Theater in 1963.
What would you like to see in the way of changes in the summer theaters in Michigan that you know? I'm talking about facilities, methods of procedure and operation. Are there things that could be done to improve the overall position of the theaters as you see it from the actor's viewpoint?
Well, I think the main thing is actors are people who have got to be loved, accepted. Yes. Audiences must come to the place, must kind of support them and let them know that they want a summer theater, you know. Publicity comes out about the plays in the paper, the people in the town should talk to the actors when they see them in a bookstore, see them on the street. Now, this happens in New England all the time. People you don't know, you walk down the street in the main street of Burlington, Vermont, and people who have seen you in plays, they don't impose upon you, but they all say, hello, how are things out at the theater, you know? When you feel that you are fulfilling a need in the community, it helps you to put in the 17-hour a day.
Views on acting as we continue our backstage visit to Michigan's summer theaters for Background Michigan. Al LaGuire speaking. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background Michigan.
Al LaGuire speaking. Our current topic is summer theater in Michigan and the people behind it. We've examined the role of the actor in summer theater, his experiences, the theater's value to the apprentice, and the opportunity for the actor in the various types of stock companies. Closely related to the actor's success is his director. Together they mold the show into its final form, each contributing his own special skill and talent. To speak of the relationship between the actor and director, we asked John Hurd, who was director of the 1963 Houghton Lake Stock Company, for his comments on the director in the Star System Summer Theater.
Who are some of the people that you directed last summer then?
Oh, for instance, Edward Everett Horton, Charlie Ruggles, Hugh Marlowe, Kurt Kasner. And the secondary list, which is now becoming bigger star caliber than even the Hollywood movies and Broadway stars, of course, is television. So, and of course, in the earlier days, radio, someone like Fred Allen, or Jack Benny was a star because everyone knew the voice. And because of that, they became stars in other media.
Do you find quite a difference in directing primarily television stars as compared with Broadway theater stars?
Quite a bit, yes. The theater people are much more, more exaggerated in style, bigger. They are more theatrically minded. They're more interested in gimmicks, in laughs, in timing, in the technical abilities of the medium to portray character. They know all the tricks of the trade. Whereas most of the television stars have come up in a close-up medium where they are much more naturalistic in their approach. And so they're much more concerned with what is the character like, what is his soul searching, what was his sociological background, and all of these little factors that make up a well-rounded human being rather than a theatrical performance. So it's exciting to work with both types. One you have to boost and make big enough for the stage, and the other you have to work to make a little bit more naturalistic, especially at Houghton Lake, where there's an arena theater and people are practically sitting on top of the stage. And sometimes the theatrical approach is a little too big.
We also got the views of a director of a semi-professional company when we interviewed Al Zoltan during the 63 summer theater season at Manistee's Ramsdale Opera House.
Al LaGuire backstage for Background Michigan, and very, very happy indeed to have at the mic with me old friend and compatriot from Michigan State University, Albert Zoltan, who is a co-director of the Summer Theater here this year. Al, welcome once again to the Michigan State Radio Network microphone.
Thanks a lot, Al. It's been a pleasure, I guess, kind of interrupting this rehearsal. We've been so busy here trying to get Little Mary on the boards opening this next Wednesday coming up, but it's kind of a relief to come back here and have a little bit of a chat with you.
Well, it's real nice to talk with you. Al, let me ask you this. Even though the audience may be hypercritical of the director with a poor show, how about the relationship between the director and the actors? What do the actors think of their director as a rule? How do you find this?
This depends a lot, I think, on the director. I think that an actor has to have complete confidence in a director. This is number one. Now, there are many kinds of directors. You can be a laissez-faire type, I suppose, and let the actors just do what they want, which is, I believe, in my book, is no good. You have a sloppy show. There's the other director who is pretty dictatorial, who gives every single move to an actor. This is no good. I think to strike a happy balance, a happy medium between the two is the best. If you have a cast that is a happy cast, I think you're going to have a good show. If there's a lot of backbiting, a lot of argument between the director and the cast, it's going to be reflected in the show.
The Director in Summer Theater, to be continued on Background Michigan. This is Al LaGuire on the Michigan State Radio Network.